welcome you to our service. Thank you for making the effort this morning to drive here and come in person to visit your church family. It's just so wonderful that we come to worship in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. The book of Luke chapter 2. Y'all are pretty familiar with that chapter. It has the Christmas story in it. Last week, Pastor Adam ushered us into Advent with his message of hope called My Hope is Emmanuel. And in his message, which I kind of thought was really interesting, he brought out the story of Lazarus, which is found in John chapter 11. And he brought the point across that when we overcome our struggles, we're able to then comfort one another. We can minister to one another and we can bring hope to one another. And whether that hope is in the form of just silence, being around somebody when they're going through something difficult, or just being by them when they're having some trials that they go through, or just to give comfort to others, or maybe a spoken word to them of an encouragement of some sort, or maybe a gift to brighten their day. That provides hope, if not in anything else, in mankind, that there's still nice people out there. But that hope was brought by Jesus Christ. Pastor Adam also brought the point that by overcoming things in our life, it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process, not just a one-stop solution. And that hope that is within us that we receive from Him, it just keeps on going and going. And he brought out that in Lazarus' story, when Jesus had the power to loose Lazarus' bindings himself, after Lazarus had been in the tomb, he called on others to loose those bindings. I don't think it was the fact that Jesus just didn't want to get near a dead, stinky body. I think he wanted to use others in bringing about this miracle that God had provided. And this shows us hope. It shows us hope in our ability to help and comfort others. And testimonies are a large part of that. Two Wednesday nights ago, I asked the group, why don't we have more testimonies in church? What hinders people from sharing their testimony of what God has done for them? And received a lot of answers that night. Answers ranged from, well, it's about time, God. We have that attitude. I've been praying for this for years, and it finally happened, so it's about time. So we're just kind of frustrated that God finally chose now to answer. But answers also ranged from, some people said, well, I just don't want people to think that I'm boasting when I tell a testimony, because maybe they haven't received their miracle yet. And if I tell about my miracle, it's kind of like rubbing their face in it. Well, no, these are all things that the enemy likes to happen within God's church in order to keep his love from spreading. He'll do anything to keep God's love from spreading in church. He's always there to whisper in our ear. And if we break through that and bring out a testimony of what God has done, it gives others that hope and that peace of mind. This morning, Susie would like to share her testimony of the hope that she, as well as our church here, prayed for her that gave her a lot of great peace. Susie? I'm going to stand next to you so the people...
You hold that. Well, a couple weeks ago, I guess around the first or second week of November, I went in for my yearly mammogram. And, that's important. If you're not doing that and it's time for you to do it, then you need to do it, because that's how they can find things or not find things. And it just depends on what's going on. But I went in just like every other year, no big deal. I'll just go in, go home. Well, I got a call a day later that, we need you to come back. We found a little spot that we need to look at. We need to do a diagnostic mammogram and then an ultrasound. And so I thought, okay, no big deal. I'll just go back. So I went back, and I went ahead and brought my husband with me because, you know, you never know what they're going to say. And they did the diagnostic, and they did the ultrasound, and they found a small, I think it was 5 centimeters. It wasn't very big at all. Like a solid mass, according to what I read on the X-ray report. And, you know, it can scare you a little bit if you start, you know, Googling all these things on the X-ray report. Because it was like, oh, it's BI-RADS-4. Well, that means it's, you know, suspicious. It's highly recommended you do a biopsy on it. And so when the doctor told me that, I was like, okay, I guess I'm coming back for that. So we scheduled it. I had told Jan and some of the other ladies about it. And the Sunday before they were going to do the biopsy, Jan called me. I was, you know, out in the hallway talking, and somebody said, Jan needs you to come in there right now. So I was like, okay. It's like the teacher called me to come back in. I better come back in. So I came in, and, you know, I'd already decided, even after I read all this stuff, because, you know, BI-RADS-4 is a 2% to a 98% malignancy. I was like, well, that's a pretty wide range. I could be anywhere in between there if I was even in there. You know, it might just be benign. But it was just, I just had a peace about it over me. And so when Jan prayed for me, you know, I wasn't all crying and like I usually am, you know, worried about stuff. Jan and Eric laid hands on me, prayed for me, and Jan said, I'm just going to pray that it's just not going to be there when they look for it again. And so they saw it on 2 mammograms. They saw it on an ultrasound. So we go in for the biopsy. Of course, you know, they're going to tell me they're going to numb me up, you know, and then they'll do it. But before they do it, they want the sonographer to locate it for the doctor. And so she was looking for it on the screen, and she couldn't find it. It was gone. So I'd had a piece about it, and then Jan confirmed it when she prayed that for me. So Amen. Anyway.
Thank you, Susie. That's wonderful.
You know, they want me to come back in 6 months and look for it again, but they couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. Thank you, Susie. I believe also that there's a lot to be said when you exercise your gift that God has given you. There comes with that some protection from things that happen. And just because you're operating in your spiritual gift and something happens to you, you're thinking, what happened, God? Sometimes God changes things in your life to let you glow and shine for a different reason. But oftentimes, if you're operating within your gift, He'll provide that protection around you. Because God don't want no rusty tools. He wants to be able to use those for His kingdom. But not always. He may want you to shine differently. And with Susie, with the hope that she had, and then followed by the peace after prayer that she had, it all comes in junction. That faith was exercised in her life. And, of course, after the peace comes the joy. And it's just wonderful to hear testimonies like this. I wish we could hear more. I mean, it's absolutely biblical what happened. Philippians 4, chapter 6, or chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you need from God this morning to bring you peace? How can you find peace among the crowded things in your life? Well, before we look for the answer in the Word, let's shout out to the Father this morning, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's look at our passage this morning, Luke chapter 2. We'll start down to verse 8 and go to verse 12. And verse 8 says, in that same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord stood suddenly before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In you alone we find the freedom in our lives to give us that peace. Thank you for the promise that you give that we can have peace in our lives. And we ask you, please, to free our world that we live in from conflict. We ask that you would protect Israel this morning, Father, and bring unity among the troubled nations. You know the things that are weighing on us now, Father. The things such as worry, anxieties, and fears. We ask that you would guard our thoughts with your peace, which is found in you, Jesus. Help us to fix our minds on your Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, it was the fall that was heard around the world, in which a mob of Walmart shoppers came rushing in for a $29 DVD player. Trampling Patricia Van Lester and knocking her unconscious on Friday, November 26th of the year 2003, the day after Thanksgiving. Her sister, Linda Elazai, watched the whole thing happen, and she said she got pushed down, and they just trampled and walked all over her like a herd of elephants. I told them, stop stepping on my sister. She's on the ground. Well, if you've ever been to Walmart, you can understand, but crowds are synonymous with Christmas. Have you noticed that? I mean, much less today than it used to be back in the 1990s, 1980s, things of that name, even the 2000s. But, you know, now that online shopping is more of a thing to do, a lot of that Black Friday stuff happens less with all the mobs going in the stores, but it's still there. But during the final days, you know, the stores are packed. The checkout lines seem to wind around the store forever. The roads are crammed with cars. Airports are jammed. And even the churches have a few more people than normal who seem to fill up the empty seats. Those of you who are smart and do your Christmas shopping ahead or online, you're the ones that are able to drive by those parking lots with a grin on your face and a little chuckle, thinking, I'm glad I'm not part of that mess. Our homes are sprinkled with Christmas decorations, Christmas parties, other activities happening. And the problem with crowds at Christmas is that they tend to sometimes trample out Jesus, who's the reason for the season, just like the shoppers trampled Patricia Van Lester. And many times we get involved in the shopping, and if we're not careful, Christmas can go by and we'll miss the Savior. We can get so busy with traveling here and traveling there to families, to parties, and things like that, and that Jesus sometimes is the one that gets left home alone. At Christmas services, a lot of times we'll slide into our seat that's maybe not our usual place. God forbid someone else is sitting in our place. We sometimes get in such a hurry at Christmas time that we aren't living well. Sometimes our souls need a break because we're so worn down, so stressed out. And sometimes, if not intensive care, we need it. It can send people into just loops of health issues. Richard Foster wrote in his book called Celebration of Discipline, he said, in the contemporary society, our adversary majors on three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in this muchness or this many-ness, then our adversary will rest and sit back satisfied. Could it be maybe that the crowds, maybe the shopping, Maybe the insistent bell ringing of those persistent Salvation Army folk in front of the store, and all the music you hear playing wherever you go, the increased number of activities that go on during this time, the fast-paced lifestyles. Maybe it's just simply a ploy of our adversary to keep us from experiencing true peace that's within us. Well, this morning, as we observe the second advent of Sunday, which is peace, we'll look at finding peace among the crowd. There was an American Indian, I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorites. This Indian left the reservation to visit downtown New York just to see what it was like. And walking down a busy street, he suddenly stopped and he said, "Wait a minute, I hear a cricket." And his friend that was with him said, "You're crazy." He said, "There's no way that you can hear a cricket in all of this noise." The Indian persisted, no, I hear a cricket. I'm sure of it." And his friend looked at him and said, "It's noon, and there's thousands of people just hustling and bustling around, going from lunchtime from the office and back and forth. You hear cars honking, tires squealing, people yelling. I just don't believe that you can hear a cricket in all of this noise." And the Indian stopped and he listened again. Then he slowly walked across the street where he found a large cement planter with a shrub in it, and he started kind of digging beneath the leaves, and sure enough, there was a cricket. And his friend, he was stunned, and he said, "Wow, you've got amazing hearing." But the Indian said, "No," he said, "my ears are the same as yours. There's no different. It's just," he said, "it just simply depends on what you're listening for. Here, let me show you." And so he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of change, some quarters, some dimes, some nickels and pennies. And he dropped it on the concrete and you guessed it, every head within a block turned to see where that money landed. See it where it was. He said, "You see what I mean?" He said, "It all depends on what you're listening for." And that's the same reason that many don't hear, many cannot find the peace that Jesus has brought into our world, because they're listening to the sounds of the world and they're not tuned in to the sounds of heaven above, which bring peace on earth to all. Well, the first thing I'd like to share with you in finding peace among the crowd is to first take a look at those who didn't hear God's message. I mean, the first Christmas in a lot of aspects was no different than a Christmas that we have today. The tiny village of Bethlehem, it was crowded. People were stirring everywhere. People were probably sleeping on the streets, much like we have today, or alleys, or somewhere, wherever they could find a spot. Merchants were up earlier than usual, preparing things, waiting for the influx of visitors to purchase their goods and wares. You had street dogs barking every now and then. Donkeys were pulling carts while their braying, constant braying, was loud enough to wake up children. The owner of the inn was awakened earlier in the town. His inn was totally full. All the beds were taken. People were everywhere. They were on mats. They were in chairs. They were curled up in every corner. This was a big celebration that was going on, and it was packed. The crowds and the clamor going on. But the hushed cry of a baby born outside of that inn, maybe in a cave, maybe in a makeshift shelter, that was placed in a manger that was normally reserved for sheep, for a bed. This boy was wrapped in strips of clothing to keep him warm. And God, the proud Father, sent out a birth announcement like none other had been done in time before. And it should be like none other than time before, because never ever had before had God taken on human flesh. The transcendent God was now living in human flesh. The child, the God incarnate, who would change the entire world in an amazing way. Citizens of Bethlehem, they didn't hear the announcement of the baby. Tiny town was so jam-packed and so noisy, too preoccupied. Mayor of Bethlehem, he didn't get a birth announcement. The high priest of Jerusalem, he was left out of the loop. So too was Caesar Augustus and the members of the royal court. None of the officials, none of the power brokers, none of the prestigious citizens received the announcement. Palace didn't hear. Temple didn't hear. The Jerusalem didn't hear. Bethlehem didn't hear about this amazing event by God who was coming to the earth in flesh to touch his people and to relate to his people. Why didn't no one hear about it? Why? Because it was too crowded. It was too noisy. They were just so preoccupied in their daily life. That's why they didn't hear. Well, let's take a look at the people who heard the birth announcement. God's birth announcement regarding his son entering human history was heard by an unpretentious group on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there is born a Savior for you, who is Christ the Lord. In verse 12, this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. The announcement birth of Jesus came to sheep herders, to shepherds. Sheep herders today were probably the equivalent of a homeless person living in the street who does maybe odd jobs for minimal pay. Shepherds were borderline social outcasts. They didn't quite fit in the culture back then. They lived and traveled around with their sheep, didn't have much of a home life. They didn't look good. They kind of smelled pungent. Had that, well, you know the smell. The language probably was crude and often harsh. They were uneducated. Definitely unsophisticated men. You know the type. These kind of folks aren't up with the latest trends and fashions. They don't have the latest gadgets or the newest toy. They don't even have a personal web page, or they don't have a laptop. They don't have an email address, for that matter. And can you believe that they're not even on Facebook or Instagram? So a lot of people would probably call them backward. Shepherds were loners. They tended their crowds out in the fields under the stars, away from the city and away from crowds for sure. Maybe miles from the nearest town could be. And nothing there, it was there but wilderness in all directions. It was an incredibly lonely and desolate life. You know the sort. The cowboy out on the open range who sings, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play. That type of guy. They lived a simpler life. Less hectic, slower, calmer. Noiseless, peopleless. They preferred a life of solitude, of quietness, separated from other people. But interestingly, it was these very people that the angel spoke to in regard of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. God made his announcement, his son's birth, to the people that were considered outcasts, overlooked in the outsiders and the type. Here's the point. God's birth announcement came to those who were not in a crowded city, but rather to those men who were separated from society. They could hear because they were in a place to hear. Sometimes we don't hear God because we're not in a place to hear God. If God would speak to those who are outcast by society, overlooked by regular people, and outside of the hustle and bustle and the normal day-to-day life things, then if I get in a similar place, if you get in a similar place, maybe we can hear him speak to us. If God can speak to the shepherds, then there is definitely a promise of peace for both you and me. So how do you hear God's message so as not to miss it? What do we need to do? How do we find this peace amongst the crowd in our lives? Do we need to move to Israel to become a sheep herder? Do we need to move to Montana? Do we need to join a weird cult or maybe never bathe again? What do we got to do to be qualified to hear God's message like the shepherds did? The very first recipients to hear the message of peace on earth. How do we do that? I think maybe we could start with maybe being still. Just be still. Christmas, I mean, by its very nature, is it always, we look forward to this time of year because it always anticipates that something is on the horizon. Maybe we have never seen anything before Christmas, especially if you have young children, grandchildren. They love this time of year. And so people look forward to it. It's a holiday which we wait all year long for. A lot of times it brings back good memories, time with family, time with friends. And, of course, everybody loves getting time off for Christmas, so there's definitely that year. But a lot of times it's possible not to see it, to miss it, to turn and it just brushes past us, off in the distance. And we realize we missed Christmas. It's gone. Like Moses, who was hiding in the cleft of the rock, watching God's back fade in the distance, we grasp and realize that we failed to see it as well. So, in being still, just move aside from the hustle and bustle. Sit. Linger a little bit. Tarry, ponder, wait, whatever you need to do, and behold, and experience the peace that Christmas brings. There's going to be plenty of time for running. There'll be time enough for activities, enough for pushing and worrying through the crowds. There's always time for that. But you need to take time to be still. Need to wait. We need to stay a while. We need just to be still. Because something is on the horizon. Stop and know that I am God. The psalmist says in 46:10, stop. 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 And know that I'm God. And like the shepherds, a lot of times we need to refrain from this overloaded activity that we have just to see Christ in our lives. And that'll mean deliberately that we need to choose to stop and to wait and maybe just push back on some things. As the old 60s song, which I love, from Buffalo Springfield, reminds us to stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Just stop. Another one is to be still, to find a place of quiet. Christmas comes also with a lot of noise with it. I mean, it's intended good. You have Christmas songs, people laughing, talking, cheering. But it's everywhere. There's music playing. There's bells ringing. There's people chattering, paper rustling. The nature of crowds itself, it just prompts noise. It's just going to be there. So it cannot be avoided. And so the only way to move away from this noise is to find a place of quietness. The entire message is focused on four words found in Luke chapter 8. The shepherds were out in the fields. Out in the fields implies they were away from the clutter of life. Out in the fields implies they were away from all of that mess. They found a place of quiet. A place of quiet doesn't necessarily always have to be a physical place. And in fact, most oftentimes, the place we need quietness the most you're not able to get away from crowds many times. So a quiet place is a place of the heart. Just like the eye of the hurricane, you can have the storm raging around you, but internally there's calmness, there's peace, and there's silence. Just like Susie testified this morning, the storm could have went around her, and the doubt, the anxiety, the worry, but there was a peace about her, a peace in the midst of the hurricane. And I know this song wasn't sung on Christmas morning, but it could have been. Shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night understood the meaning of the song that Susie played during the offertory, Silent Night. And if you listen closely to those words, you know them. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. That's what I want to experience, don't you? Especially if you're parents of young children, you definitely know what I mean. Silence, calm, sleep, peace. I don't know how many of y'all know Travis Tritt, country music star. He says that for many years he played an out-of-the-way joints before he made it into the big music industry as he is now. He said many of the bars that he played in were, well, dangerous places. He had drunken fans who were drinking all night. They would start fights over the dumbest things and over the most smallest matters. And as all you know, crowds can become easily an uncontrollable mob if you don't watch it. But Travis Tritt, he found a unique way to keep the peace in such situations. He says, Silent Night proved to be my lifesaver. And just when those bar fights started and things began getting out of hand, when you had the bikers going to the pool tables and grabbing the pool cues and the rednecks heading for the gun rack, he would start playing Silent Night. He says, I mean, it could be in the middle of July and I would still play Silent Night. I didn't care. And he said, when I did this and played this during those crazy times in those bars, sometimes people would even start crying. Standing there watching me sweat up on stage playing Christmas Carols. So find the time, if you can, to find a place to enjoy silence and calmness and peace this Christmas. I mean, the night of prayer that we have here coming up, it's a perfect time for that. Move away from the crowds and listen to that still, small, silent voice of God. There's a word about the shepherds that stuck to me out in Luke's narrative of the birth of Jesus. It's a word called living in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. New King James Version says, and the shepherds were living out in a field nearby. They weren't just visiting there with their sheep to admire the countryside. They were living out there. They weren't just going through the motions. They weren't just there waiting for a paycheck. They weren't hoping for the weekend so they could party till they dropped. They were living out there in the hillsides. They weren't in a hurry. They weren't bombarded with all types of peer pressure. They weren't exposed to the latest fad and facts. They were living out on the hillside. And I think what happens is today we have a lot of pretending going on, making sure that we pretend to do the right thing, pretend to live the good life, pretend that we have everything together in our life in order to make it appear that you have everything together in your life. Pretending. And when we do that, God has a unique way to bring things down to the truth. And when that happens, we find that this facade of pretending to have it together slowly starts to fade away. The story of the Walmart shopper earlier has a dark side. Turns out that Patricia Van Lester is a former Walmart worker who filed 16 injury claims against her former employer as well as other businesses. And in an investigation done by CBS television affiliate WKMG in Orlando, they revealed that Van Lester had received thousands of dollars in settlements and workman's compensation since 1987. In another claim, it said that she had slipped on some hand lotion in 1991 while shopping in an Orange County Walgreens pharmacy store. She said this caused permanent inner injury, disability, and disfigurement, and mental anguish. Of course, the case was dismissed. But could it be that Patricia Van Lester is a fake? Could it be that Patricia Van Lester is pretending to do these things that happen so to get more money? Maybe. But before we pass judgment too harshly on her, maybe we need to look in the mirror ourselves, and maybe we're pretending to live a lot of times. Or are we really living? Are you true to your own self? I mean, is your definition of peace that all the gifts are purchased on your list and you can mark everybody off? Can you finally breathe a sigh of relief then? Is that your version of peace? Don't let the crowd and don't let those activities steal your peace, because they will. A lot of times unintentionally. They don't know what's going on, but these crowds and our crowded life can steal your peace. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, when Jesus went to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter was dead, it says that Jesus came into this ruler's house and he saw them playing this funeral dirge, and the noisy crowd was there weeping and wailing. And Jesus had to say to them, "You got to make room, for this girl's not dead, but she's sleeping." And what'd they do? They began to ridicule him. They began to make fun of him. They began to chuckle and to chide each other. This place, Jesus realized, it was overcrowded with sorrow. It was overcrowded with funeral songs. It was overcrowded with weeping and depression. But Jesus says, "You guys need to make room for me here." And what happened next is that when Jesus said to them, "Just put these people outside. Take them outside. I got to work here." It was overcrowded. And Jesus said, "I need more room to work here. I can't have all of this stuff affecting me." And he was saying, "Your life's so crowded in here. I'm trying to get rid of this depression out of this house. I'm trying to get this weeping out of the house. I'm trying to get this death and defeat out of this house. But you're so overwhelmed and so overcrowded." And let me tell you, we as normal human beings have that power to bring about those things to happen with attitudes of sorrow, attitudes of weeping, wailing, and we can just bring things down. And Jesus says, "I'm trying to get all that out of here so I can work with the Father here." And when Jesus put the crowd outside, Jesus went in, the Prince of Peace, the bride and morning star. He took the daughter by the hand and said, "Rise," and the girl rose up from the dead. You see, Jesus wants to use peace to rise you up from the dead, to rise you up from the numbness, the deadness that a crowded life and all these noises going on can consume you and prevent this peace that's within your life. And I wonder sometimes what we're missing with our crowded lives. I wonder what miraculous power that God has won in our lives, what's passing by us, because there's no room. Even churches today, they can become so overcrowded with the traditions they have that they become so comfortable in because it feels right to do. Jesus is telling us that, you know, somebody needs to make room for me. I got to have some room to work here. The entanglements, the cares of life, those things that overwhelm us. But if we would only make room for him, he will enter into the miraculous. Many times our lives become like the inn itself that Jesus was meant to be born in. It was so crowded that Jesus has to move on down the street to do something great. If he would make room for me, if we would open up the book and read it, if you would make room for me and take time to pray, if you would make room for me and love me more than just a tiny seed on Sunday, but if you would just come to me daily for daily bread, then I will provide everything that you need and then some to give you peace. The only challenge that Jesus had was to make room for the miracle. And he says today, make room for the peace that I have for you. The people were just put out. And so sometimes you have to put some people out of your life in order to make room for Jesus. So will you hear the message of God this Christmas? This message of peace for you in your life. Will you just stop long enough to be still and to listen for God? Will you find a place of solitude, kind of just to get away, to kind of get a fresh breath? Will you find a place that God can break through your crazy schedules, all of them well-intentioned, but break through those crazy schedules that just keep you in a whirlwind of busyness? May the Father remind us to receive peace, intended for you and me in the crowds and in the crowded schedules of our life. May the Father remind us to find peace, that Jesus brought himself to us so we can enjoy peace among the craziness of our life. As we reflect on God's peace this Advent season, may we be reminded of our role to actively find peace. To actively find peace among the crowd in our lives. How can you help usher in God's peace this Christmas season? Set aside time maybe for some personal devotions. Maybe help a busy or overburdened friend. Or you could always provide a meal to a family who's facing anxiety. Advent is the perfect time to commit to pursuing peace in your life. Are you ready to be filled with peace? Are you ready to see the walls of things that has overcrowded your life just to come down and to begin to fade away? Is today the day you determined to make peace a priority in your life? If so, that peace may be in the form of renewing your commitment to Christ. Because that's the purest form of peace right there. Stop dancing with the skeletons in your closet and surrender your life to Christ, who has brought peace into our world. Maybe today is the day that you surrender your life to Christ and decide to give him lordship over all of the areas in your life in obedience. What is it in your life that you need peace from? Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever has distressed you, our counselors this morning are here to pray with you, to encourage you, to anoint you if necessary for healing, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Please join me in faith and prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. You are the God who gives peace in our lives. And during this second week of Advent, we ask you that you cause us to remember that because of Jesus, we can experience this true peace in our hearts this Christmas. Free from the turmoil, the craziness, the chaos that goes on. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the situations that you are facing. Thank you, Father, for this testimony from Susie today. To give us hope and to give us peace. For you offer us a peace that passes all understanding. So this Advent, Father, help us to make it real in our hearts. Never have we needed your joy and peace in our lives so much. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. Not only do we need your peace, Jesus, we crave it. We crave your peace. You promised rest for the weary, victory for the battle scarred, peace for the anxious, and acceptance of the brokenhearted. Your name is still called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. And we know that peace on earth can only come when our hearts are at peace with you. Thank you for your mighty and sovereign hand among us. Help us to fully trust you and rest in the peace that you have to offer. In Jesus' name we pray and lift these up. And all of the church said,